Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The Craig Ferguson Fancy Rascal stand-up tour continues throughout 2024. For a full list of dates and tickets, go to thecraigfergusonshow.com/tour. See you out there. thecraigfergusonshow.com/tour. My name is Craig Ferguson. The name of this podcast is Joy. I talk to interesting people about what brings them happiness. Today, my guest is, I've got to be honest, he's probably cooler than you. But to be fair, he's very much cooler than me, which I realize is not a high bar, but he's a very cool guy. Please welcome Sung Kang. Are you friends with Jay Leno?
I would say, well, I'm an admirer. I mean, I've been on this show.
In his garage, you must
have. Yeah, it's not like I go to his house and have dinner.
No one does that. Jay is, he, if you did have dinner with him,
yeah,
you know, he never has hot liquids. Like, he's fiercely against soup.
Is he?
Yeah, it's weird. I think he's, some weird stuff going on. How do you feel about soup?
I don't like soup either.
Wait, really?
Yeah, I don't like hot food. Like,
dude, you're Korean. There's a lot
like
of
spicy food,
right? Yeah,
but like soup, yeah. That's I don't.
But there
don't,
are soups involved in Korea cuisine. There's a whole soup area of
for
Korean
sure,
food.
Yeah. Lots of soup.
Yeah,
but I avoid it. I like the cold noodles.
Right, but
cold, hot soup.
Cold like soup is like that's Polish and stuff. You're crossing the streams,
hey,
man.
You know, Polish has a lot of similarities to Korean food, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
How does that work?
Have you been to Poland? Have you spent time in Poland?
No, but my wife's background, her ancestry is Polish, yeah.
So I just spent some time in Poland.
Okay.
A lot of their food is pickled.
That's right, yeah.
Fermented.
Fermented pickles. She's always eating pickles, all the time.
Yeah, they love beef tongue. They love beef tartare.
Right.
They
okay,
love
I can see
vodka,
where you're going.
Which is kind of soju-ish, right?
Yeah, but also Koreans drink a lot too, though, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Koreans are like, they used to say, now this is probably very not okay to say this now, but they used to say the Koreans are the Irish of Europe.
I've heard that.
Koreans are Irish of Asia.
I've heard that.
Like literate drunks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't like outsiders.
Right.
And they don't like each other much either.
That sounds like they might be Scottish of Asia then.
Yeah.
But listen, are a lot of your family still in Korea?
My mother is in Korea.
Really? I thought you were brought up in California or
Georgia.
Georgia.
Yeah. So after I graduated high school,
right,
she decided to go back.
Oh.
Yeah. She came here for, you know, the kids, like, you know,
right,
to give me the American dream.
Right.
But she always felt like, you know, she did feel like a second class citizen.
Really?
Yeah. And yeah, you know, she growing up in the South during the 70s and the 80s, you know, opportunities for her to work, like, you know, she, you know, my mother, like, was cleaning toilets, like a housekeeper.
Jeez.
But, you know, she felt like, hey, she did her duty. She gave her kids opportunity to dream.
Right.
Right. Maybe opportunities that we wouldn't have had if we were in Korea, you know, living there in the 70s.
Yeah.
And so she felt like, hey, you know, I want to go back and, you know, hang out with friends and have friends.
I did that though. I went back to Scotland.
You did?
Yeah, I did. I went back to Scotland like 5 or 6 years ago. I kind of moved back there and then I'd been there for like 5 or 6 years and I'm like, yeah, that's enough. And I'm back in America.
You're back.
Yeah, but I did go back for a while. I think I don't know what you get a kind of call for. I don't know. You kind of go back. Would you ever? But you grew up in America, so yeah. It would be different for you. You wouldn't think about going to Korea. You didn't grow
I
up
tried.
There.
You know, when I was like in my 20s, I said, you know, maybe I could go back there and there'd be more opportunities for me as an actor?
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
And I went back and you know, my Korean's not that good. So I speak like Korean like maybe like an 8-year-old. Right? So. I have an accent when I speak Korean that they know that I'm from America.
Really?
Yeah. Right?
That's kind of...
Yeah. It's like if you spoke Korean, I sound like you.
Right.
Right. Because I
went to a friend of mine. We went down to Mexico and he speaks really good Spanish, but he learned it in Spain. So when you go down to Mexico and you speak Spanish, Castilian Spanish to Mexicans, it sounds like he said, good afternoon, how very, very marvelous and lovely to see you. Sounds like he sounds super posh or something like that. Very strange. So is that the kind of vibe? I guess it would be language is language, right?
Yeah. And then men in Korea, they say that I sound like a woman because, you know, there's a certain way of speaking, like informal and formal, a way a female would speak and
right.
a male would speak. And I've been taught how to speak Korean by women, my mother, and my wife, right? So I sound like a girl.
Well, you know, in these times, that's okay. That's cool. I mean, I wonder how languages that have a lot of gender identity in them, I wonder how they're coping. Because gender identity is like changing.
It has, yeah. I don't know if it's changing in Korea yet, though.
Right. I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I know really nothing about Korea.
Yeah.
Probably. Do you know much about Scotland?
No.
Okay, so we're even. That's fine. But I'll tell you about Scotland and you tell me about Korea.
Okay.
Okay, so Hwanna, where Korea is probably recent stuff is like the split in the country. That plays into the Irish thing as well, I suppose. Doesn't it? North and South split by someone else then causes a lot of problems later on. I mean, do you have any relatives in the North?
Well, we are from the North. We are originally, especially my mother's side, they're all North Korean.
All right, so she...
And then during the war, she...
Right, she got out.
She left.
Right.
And so that's why she grew up so poor, because they were North Koreans and then they came to the South during the war and they knew no one. So they had to start over in Seoul. And, you know, so they're North Korean blood. And our food... So the food that she makes, or the Korean food that I grew up with, would be considered North Korean cuisine, right?
Like Polish Korean?
Yeah.
Like a lot of pickles. Yeah, I get it. So listen, were your parents like really into you being an actor? Because that kind of, look, it's a stereotype, but I thought like I'm an immigrant and I don't want my kids to be actors. I want them to be like, you know.
CPAs.
Something like that. Yeah, CPAs, doctors, that kind of thing. Yeah.
The art conversation was not something that we had at home. You know, it was survival. It was like, you know, I have a stepfather. So, you know, he was in the military. He was like a, you know, master sergeant and, you know, he was very by the book and, you know, very strict in the way, you know, he felt like a young man had to grow up. And he worked, you know, he worked like 2-3 jobs, right? My mother, she, you know, was cleaning dishes and
so
cleaning
it's
toilets,
a
right?
Full on blue collar background.
Yeah, very
from.
Much yeah, so, yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, her mind was like, I gotta like send my kids to college. I'm going to have this money. I'm going to, you know, save some money so they have opportunities. So,
right.
To talk about, hey, I want to be an actor. It's like crazy talk.
Yeah, it is. It was where I grew up as well. Like, I'm going to be in show business. It's like, I'm going to be an astronaut.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you're not. You're going to go and work in the shipyards like everybody else.
Yeah.
So did you go to college?
I did.
So what did you study at college?
Political science. I was going to be an attorney.
Political scientist?
Yeah. Right.
What is the outcome for a political science degree normally? What's the goal from that?
You go to law school.
You go to law school and you become a lawyer.
Yeah.
Oh man, you don't want to do that.
No.
You're way too cool to be a lawyer.
Well, there's some cool lawyers.
Yeah, some.
No, listen, even if they're cool
public
lawyers,
defenders are
they're
pretty
still
cool.
lawyers, though, aren't they? I mean, underneath it all, they're still lawyers. I guess public defenders, you're right.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking in L.A. terms, I guess. But there are public defenders in L.A. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
So you squandered your law degree then. Did you finish? Did you get your law degree?
No.
You left?
I knew that I was going to be unhappy doing that.
Right.
And during the summer, I was moving furniture for like a summer job. And my buddy that, you know, was kind of like an older brother mentor.
Right.
He was the first Asian dude that I ever met that loved films and talked about films. And he knew the Universal Studios like tour monologue.
Really?
Yeah, the dude at the tram that tells you like...
Yeah, I went when I first came here. Yeah. Everybody does
He
it,
knew
right?
that monologue by heart just because he loved movies and loved, you know, the whole, you know, like pop culture aspect. And we would go watch films together. And he would open the door for me to go, hey, there's you know, this art house film and there's this like Asian American dude, like he's the lead. Like you could, let's go watch it. And, you know, it's like, you should be inspired. Like there's opportunities. So
who were you watching at that time?
At that time, I remember. So we were moving furniture, and then one day, Roy Siaka is my buddy.
Right.
He goes, "Hey, there's this movie called Map of the Human Heart. It's a French movie with this actor Jason Scott Lee from Hawaii.
Okay,
Chinese American. He eventually ended up playing the Bruce Lee biopic, the Dragon.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I knew the name.
Yeah.
I have heard of that movie as well, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah, he was in Jungle Book. He was in Universal Soldier. He had, you know, he had a pretty good career.
Right.
And we went to go watch this film, and I see this dude, Asian American guy, not doing kung fu, not having an accent, not, you know, being a gangster. Not being one-dimensional. I was like, wow, it's three-dimensional.
Yeah.
And I was like, I got to go find this dude. So I came back down to LA, I hunted him down.
The actor?
Yeah. I was like, where did he go and study? How did he become who he became? So then I found this teacher, Sal Romeo, this Italian guy from the East Coast, very method-based, very actor studio-based. And I studied with him, you know, for like 10 years.
Wow.
And he's up the street. He's like in Los Feliz. And he had a theater company. So we were allowed to go up and just do experimental theater and just try. Just fall on your face and fall on your face. And, you know, he taught us camera technique. He had like every book, acting book that was ever made. And he was accessible.
Right.
You know, he was like a guru. He was a mentor. He was Sal, the actor's pal. You know
what I mean? That's amazing.
Yeah.
And so when you got into acting then, you talked about method. Is that something that is practical to do? I mean, I know very little about, you know, method acting, but I think I kind of have a layman's idea that, you know, like you stay in character all the time. And all. Is that right?
Well, Sal's approach was like, you take what works for you.
Right.
You know, and if you want to do that.
Right.
Right. But then if the character is like a heroin junkie, I don't know.
Right, you don't want to be taking
that.
Heroin.
Yeah, yeah. You know, if the character's like a pedophile, you probably don't want to be.
Like if you're playing Hannibal the Cannibal, you probably shouldn't eat people. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
And there is a certain amount of pretend involved.
Yeah.
I mean, in fact, it's mostly pretend. In fact, it's all pretend.
It's all.
Yeah, yeah.
And you got to have fun. He would say, hey, it's called the play for a reason.
That's cool.
Right?
He sounds like a cool guy.
Oh, it's the coolest.
Is he still around?
He's actually really sick.
That's a shame.
Yeah, so... That's the end of that era. I mean, it's unfortunate because there are so many young actors and actresses that could have, you know, benefited from having Sal around.
Yeah.
Because I remember, like, you know, I could not afford to, like, pay for the classes and stuff that he had.
Right.
And I said, Sal, you know, like, I can't really afford all this stuff. And he was the type of dude. He's like a character out of a movie. He goes, well... Hey, so you want to come 7 days a week? Because he kind of ran a conservatory, right? So there's like movement and, you know, and Stanislavski, there's Strasbourg, there's chair work, there's, you know, substitution work, there's, you know, there's animal work, there's voice work, there's, you know, there's always something to do,
right?
Improv work. And he said, well, hey, you want to just clean the studio and, you know, run lights at the plays and you can wash my car? You know, if a actor or actress needs, like, you know, somebody to
read with them
for an audition, you come in and you do that and you can come every day. right? And so he's the reason, or people like that are the reason that, you know, I was able to kind of...
And they do exist in they LA. Yeah, yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah. I got help like that from a bunch of different... Actually, one of them was a lawyer now as I think about it, when I got here.
Really?
Yeah, because I turned up pretty much like you. I didn't have, you know, I had no connections. I didn't know anybody. I didn't, you know... And I met this lawyer. We got talking. He's still my lawyer. And they said, said, we'll take you on. He's, this guy's like a heavy hitter. He's like got some massive names, like huge, like icon level clients. Mm. And he said, I'll be your lawyer. I said, I don't have any money. He said, yeah, I got a feeling. Don't worry about it. And he's still my lawyer. And, you know, I've made him a bit of money over the years. Yeah. But he took me on just kind of like, it'll work out. And I think... That's one of the things I do love about show business is that there's a lot of people like that in it. That it can work as a plan. Like something will turn up. Like, did you have a career plan in mind, or are you just like, I just want to act, I just want to do it, or I want to do a specific thing. I want to be that guy in Fast and Furious franchise. I'm going to be that, and that's what I want to do.
No. I had no plan. But I knew. Growing up, I did not want to leave, invisible. I did not want to carry on my mom's legacy of feeling like, you know, you're a second-class citizen in this country.
You don't feel like that now, do you?
I do not.
No.
And I think the times have changed, right?
Right. Did you feel like that growing up when you
were... Oh, for sure.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you got hit with racism a lot and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, that was just the norm.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't something like, remember there was like this Asian hate thing that was happening in the news, right?
Yeah, I remember.
And there's still a bit of it. You know, that was something that was just normal for us growing up in Georgia, in the South, you know what I mean?
And yeah.
It was just the way it was, you know? And I think, you know, maybe that's what kind of motivated me to go, okay, I need to leave something behind.
Yeah.
You know, I need to like leave my mark. Like I got to piss on this earth and then I can go, right?
The Craig Ferguson Fancy Rascal stand-up tour continues throughout the United States in 2024. For a full list of dates and tickets, go to thecraigfergusonshow.com/tour. See you out there.
You know how you can make your summer vacation better? Is with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding and loungewear. It's like being at home, but also going away. It's great. And now you can get 35% off. You can get the unmatched softness. It's really as buttery smoothness of Cozy Earth's bedding. It's better than the finest hotels, and you get a really good night's sleep on your travels. And that's important. It's travel friendly. It's hassle free. Cozy Earth's bedding comes in adorable totes, making it the perfect companion for your adventures near and far. You can stay cool and comfy during long flights, and you know what that's like, with the Cozy Earth temperature regulating bamboo joggers and pullover crew. Makes you look cool when you're traveling. I like it. Well, as cool as I can look when I'm traveling. So discover your next destination for ultimate comfort at Cozy Earth. Visit cozyearth.com and use our code JOY at checkout and you'll get 35% off. And let them know we sent you after the checkout. Promo code JOY. J-O-Y. JOY. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Look, everybody has stuff that stresses them out and annoys them, and I'm no different from anybody else. For example, I get very irritated that people that wear shoes that look like feet. That's not a big deal, but it's a big deal to me. Obviously, there are much more important things to get worried about. Get them off your chest. When you keep them bottled up, it starts to affect you negatively. Now, therapy is a safe place to do that. That's what I did. And you figure out what's going on with you, work it through, and then let it go. Let it go, you see, that's what I think. I've done a lot of therapy and I have to say I'm a very satisfied customer. If you think I'm kind of tense now, you should have seen me before I started. I really do recommend it. If you can do it, you should do it. If you're thinking of starting therapy, I'd suggest giving BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, it's designed to be convenient, it's flexible, and it's suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with, you know, a licensed therapist, proper one, and then you can switch your therapist at any time for no additional charge. I just think it's a good idea. Give it a shot. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/joypod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/joypod.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
What about writing? Did you ever write?
Yeah, I write. I write now.
Right.
That's the next evolution of my career is that, you know, I would love to really, you know, explore more opportunities as an actor, as a director.
Right.
You know, I think I found the other thing that I could be content with doing is directing.
Directing.
And
it's interesting because that's a very specific mindset.
Yeah.
And I directed one.
I heard, yeah.
Yeah, I did not care for it.
Why? Why?
Well, I don't know. I can't really explain it. I've had conversations with a couple of directors. Mm. Quentin Tarantino, I was talking to about that very thing. And I said, I didn't like doing it. And he was like, I can't understand why a person wouldn't love directing. Because, of course, he lives for it.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't know what it is. And he asked me a question. He said, did you have the movie in your head before you started? And I said, yeah. And he went, well, that's why. You're not a director then.
Mm.
And I was like, okay. Mm. So do you have that? Do you have, like, say, I know exactly how I want to see it. I know exactly how I want to feel when I'm looking at it. I don't know if all directors have this, but
right.
I certainly don't.
Right.
I didn't feel that.
Right. I think maybe it's like writer directors.
Right.
So you write the script. So as you're writing it, you have the vision.
Right.
Right, you see how it's going to play out. You see how the words are going to be delivered. Your words are going to be delivered. You understand the message, the why behind the film, right?
So. Yeah, but I mean, I know it's not about me, but I wrote this film and I directed this film and I'm in this film and I don't like it.
You don't like it?
No, I feel like it didn't turn out the way I wanted it to be. I had a lot of pressure from, like, there was, and this is where I made my big mistake, casting.
Mm.
You cast the wrong, and what I did is I cast myself in the film, and that was really fucking stupid.
Well, why'd you do that?
Because it was arrogant. I was like, I'm gonna write it, and I'm gonna direct it, and I'm gonna be in it. And it was fine to write it and direct it, but I think being in it was a real piece of vanity that really blew up in my face.
Mm.
I shouldn't have done that because I couldn't concentrate on what I was doing. I also had a motorcycle accident during the shoot, and I think it knocked my concentration a bit. Because I broke my collarbone and 3 ribs, but we didn't stop filming.
Mm.
And it was I'm not good with...
What was the movie about?
It was about a rock star who like comes out of a drug haze and finds he's a teenage daughter he didn't know about. And it was like his kind of connection back to her and her mother and what had happened and stuff like that. It's a kind of sweet little light comedy thing.
That was great.
Yeah, it was okay. It was a better script than it was a movie. And that's what I thought, well, I can't be a director because it was a good script, but I couldn't get... And I remember, actually, now when I think about it, I read the script to the movie Braveheart.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't get it. I don't get this movie at all. But when I saw the movie, I went, wow, that's great.
Mm.
And I think that's... Mel Gibson's a really good director. And I think he knew what he was looking at. And he could do it. So you're going to write movies?
Yeah.
So what kind of stuff are you writing? What do you want to write? What are you doing?
Well, I wrote a show, a TV show that we're moving forward with.
Okay, good. Congratulations.
Yeah, that's about great. My childhood in the South.
Right.
Growing up with biracial parents.
Right.
And you know, it's like a half hour family comedy that I wrote. And then I have 2 features that I'm almost ready to go and shoot. Right?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
But that's, it still takes over your life. I mean,
but it's something that, you know, I don't know what else I would be doing.
Fair enough.
You know, it's like I wake up, I do it, you know, and so I work a couple hours in the morning and then a couple hours before I go to bed. So I like, you know, bookend like the day. Like,
right.
With this creative, you know, journey. And it just gives me, Because, you know, being an actor, man, it can suck.
Ugh.
It's like the worst because you're waiting for somebody to call you and go, hey, you're good enough. Then you get there.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, you can put your heart into it. You can put your passion into it. And then it could turn out to just be junk.
Or you're not even in it.
Yeah.
They don't even put it
they
in.
They cut. Yeah.
Yeah,
you get
right.
cut out.
Yeah, I know. I've had that a couple of times.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. It was like, what was happened to all that shit that I did?
I just bought a TV or have a party. I did that.
I get it. I remember when I first moved to LA, I was buying a house and this realtor said, I'd got a job and the realtor said to me, don't buy a house now, wait till October. And I said, why October? He said, that's when series start to get canceled.
Whoa.
And the actors who have bought houses start to have to sell their houses.
Oh, that's so
dark.
Dark.
Yeah, it
sad.
Is. But I did it too. Yeah. I just, the show that I was in stayed on. I did the Drew Carey show for like 10 years.
Mm.
And that was my ticket in. That was like that sitcom. Those were different times though.
There was a
multi-camera sitcom thing.
Yeah.
Did you ever work with Jet Li?
I did.
I thought you did. What was the movie you did with Jet Li?
It was called War. So it was Jason Statham and Jet Li.
Right. Because I remember having Jet Li on the late night show.
Mm.
And I had this thing where I was talking to him. And, you know, he's quite a small guy.
Mm.
And I was thinking, as I was talking to him, I thought, he's a really small guy. I wonder if I could. And then my brain went, I wonder how many other guys thought that just before they went to hospital. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like, he's a pretty small guy. I could probably do. Were you ever drawn into that world, the martial arts world or anything like that? Because it's so, like Asian actors are meant to do it or were meant to, or that's where the work was. Were you pulled into that?
That's why I deliberately stayed away from it.
Good for you, man.
Yeah. I don't know if it was good for me. It was definitely not good for
pocketbook. I know. Yeah. But I mean, I did the same as well about, you know, playing certain Scottish things.
Mm.
You know, but you establish your individuality. You establish who you are.
Mm.
And I've talked to people about it before. It's like you kind of make a decision going, you know what? I'm not going to do that.
Mm.
I'm not going to go that way. What about the driving thing, though? When you do those movies, are insane. I have two boys, so I grew up and I've seen them all a lot. Mm. I've seen you a lot in those movies, and you can drive. Is that you driving, right?
No.
What?
No.
That's
Craig.
Not you driving.
No. First, look, you have to give credit to all these amazing stunt drivers.
I'm so glad my boys are not here. They'll be like, what?
Like none of us are doing that. That doesn't make any sense. Like it's like, you know, we are actors,
right?
And that those type of stunts, like you dedicate your whole life to do something like that. Like that is not something
they
that
didn't even like put you on in like an advanced driving course.
Sure, yeah,
you did that.
Yeah.
Can you drift a car?
Yeah. Yeah, but not like that.
Yeah, but even say, yes, I can.
Yeah, well, you can. You can learn an hour.
Really?
Yeah. It's not that difficult. Like, you just have the right teacher. You have like an open track and you have the right car. Like if you got like a Nissan 350Z, like the easiest car to drift, and then somebody can just teach you, you know, it's like, it's not that difficult.
Do you ever do it? Like when you're like in LA, just like, watch this.
That's
cool.
Yeah, in a safe area.
Yeah, of course. I understand. Yeah, for legal reasons. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But that's cool. But are you a car guy though? Are you like,
I am.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So what do you have like a giant shed like Jay with full of fancy cars?
I don't have Jay
cars?
Leno collection, but I do have
you got
some,
a few cars?
Yeah.
What do you got?
I was just working on a 1971 240Z, a Datsun.
Right.
I'm in love with this car, Craig.
Like, really?
I've never felt this way
about
a car before,
or anyone. No, you got a dog.
Yeah, I got a dog. Yeah, I got a wife.
So you like other things. You have human connections.
But this car,
I understand.
Like I go before I go to bed. Like I go out there, and today even like I was like, I think I'm gonna end up being late because I was just sitting. I put this carburetor heat shield. My friend in San Jose. He specializes in Z's and he makes these parts, Z Car Garage, and he sent me this heat shield because carburetors overheat and then there's like this vapor lock, the gas starts to boil. So these old cars, you know, they've all had like heating issues or they have heating issues. And I put that on and there's something about just touching you know, these car parts. Like, we don't do that anymore. Like,
no,
you
know, I
drove a minivan over. It's like a, you know, hybrid. I don't think I've ever opened the hood.
No,
you know what I mean?
No, right? In that thing.
Yeah, and you smell the gas, and then you look at the stance, and, you know, the car took about 3.5 years to completely, like, you know, get mechanically running. So it's at my house, and finally I'm, like, touching it every day. You know, and it's this like relationship. Like, I talk to her. It's like a her.
Oh, it's a her,
right?
It's right. Like, okay. Just,
and she's constantly going, "Hey, come over and, like, you know, hang out with me.
Come with me. Let's go for a ride.
I need this. You gotta buy me this. You gotta buy me this. This is about to break. So
That's well, I have a car like that too. Just I don't have many cars, but I have one car that I like. Wow, that's pretty special.
What is that?
It's a Morgan Plus 4. Are you familiar with?
I know
car?
Morgans. I don't know the Plus 4.
Well. It's basically just a two-seater little British Racing green.
Ooh, that's a great color.
Oh, my God. And it's like, it's 2 liters of engine and just nothing else. Just seats, 2 liters, and go fast.
What year is this car?
It's mid-90s, but it's a real retro look, a Morgan. Mm. It's like, it looks like it's from the 30s.
You know? Oh.
It has that real kind of like, and it's still, I think it's the last, certainly in Britain, it's the last, you know, privately owned car company.
Right. It's there's a lot of wood in there, right?
Like, yeah, they make the chassis out of wood.
Wood, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a piece of art, right?
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. And sometimes I'll go, I have it in, because the weather's bad in Britain, even in the garage, I have it in something called a Carcoon, which is like it's like this big kind of see-through plastic tent. Mm. And you hook it up to the outlet and there's a dehumidifier. So it just like dries up the air all around the car. So it sits inside this little pod and inside the garage. And I go in and look at it in the pod and it's so clean looking. And if you open the air vent, you can smell the oil coming out of there. I get a kind of kick out of it. What I'm saying is I understand.
Yeah.
You know, it's
the British
like,
green is just,
it's
such a classy.
It's the
classy.
greatest thing. Yeah. So how did you get into cars when you were a kid? Was that a thing down in Georgia?
It was something that I grew up, I had a neighbor who let me hang out with him in his garage, this old Korean War vet.
Okay.
And he and his wife never had kids. He looked like, you know, James Dean meets the Fonz. Like, you know, he had his like pomade.
Oh yeah, the hair thing and the
white. You know, wear white t-shirts and like
roll up with the cigarette
like, the
and
camel,
the sleeve. Yeah, yeah,
filter.
Yeah. Got
and he's
it.
Always
yeah.
listening to like Beach Boys or something. And he was always working on this '63 Impala. So like this pearl with red interior.
That's
convertible.
Beautiful.
And he was restoring it, and so he would let me hang out with him and ask him all these stupid questions, right? Like, Why do you got to do that? Why don't we put like thunderbolts in the car? And, and he's like, OEM, son. It's like back to factory. And you know, this is a SS. And like, what is that? It's like, you know, super sport. And this is, you know, like we're caretakers of these, you know, of history. And it's like,
well,
I was
he's
like,
not
what?
Wrong, yeah. You know, because it's art, you know, and it is art. I think that because I want a couple of things that are, you know, arty. And I think, you know, and some of them are quite old. And I go, well, it's only mine for now.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like I own it and it'll always be mine. It'll be mine until I'm done and then it'll be someone else's.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, I don't know. I do quite like the vibe of that. Are you drawn to other forms of aesthetic art as a fan, like paintings or, yeah?
Yeah. So I paint too.
You do?
Yeah.
Do you paint?
I paint flowers.
You paint flowers in oils?
Anything. Acrylic, you know,
right.
Like, crayon,
you're
marker.
Like so artistic. I feel kind of embarrassed.
No, because
I'm just like, you know.
No,
embarrassed.
No, it's just ADHD, I think.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, it's just I gotta be.
Gotta be doing something?
Yeah, there has to be something coming out of me. Like in the morning, I have this notebook at, you know, at the breakfast table and I'll just start writing stuff or I'll start drawing something.
That's so, really cool.
Right?
What about music? Does music do it for you as well?
I've never been musically inclined. I've tried. My mother tried to get me to play the cello. I've tried to learn how to play the guitar and the piano.
Right.
But something, it doesn't click with me. You know? Like,
with that.
Yeah, I don't know why. Yeah, I mean, I appreciate it. Like
of course. Yeah.
When I see someone play like a piano or a guitar outside, like let's say at the airport or like, you know, let's say at the, you know, like street performers.
Yeah.
Those are the people that move me. Because they're there for passion.
Yes.
Right? You know, they might make a few bucks in the hat or something, but you know, I'm like, you're out here and you see their face. It's like, they love, this is who they are.
They love what they do, yeah.
Right? Without it, they're going to die, right? This is their fertilizer. This is their water. And I trip out and I just absorb it. And I'm like, God, they are so passionate. It's inspiring as a human being. Like, you are out here because you love this.
Yeah, I think they're... See, I know what I have in my life that does that for me.
Wait, what's that?
Stand up, no doubt.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Like, when I do stand up, like, I don't get paid for doing stand up. I get paid to go to your town.
Yeah.
Once I'm there, the stand up's free, but you got to pay me to go there. But once I get on stage, it's for nothing. And I get a sense of, you know, I'm where the universe would have me be.
Mm.
And it gives me a sense of peace when I'm doing it. I know I'm good at it.
Mm.
I know that I'm meant to be doing it. I just get a feeling of well-being. Is that something that you get from writing? Is it something you get from being an actor? Is it like, because I've heard actors talk about on a movie set, sometimes they get that kind of feeling. You know, that just kind of, I'm where I'm meant to be. I understand everything, how it all works. It's all fine.
I think after the Fast and Furious movies, right? And the impact that the character Han that I play in the film.
It's a legacy character. No matter what you do in your life, it'll always be in there somewhere. Yeah. So they'll always talk about it.
Yeah. I think when I, you know, after a few years of, you know, being in that film, you know, and then, you know, I'm like, you know, going around America or, you know, wherever I'm traveling. And you see what that franchise, like how it affects people.
Mm.
And I really dismissed it. I discredited it. I'm like, it's a movie about cars. Like, who cares? It's just a popcorn flick. Like, who cares? And then after Paul Walker passed away.
Yeah. Geez.
I really, you felt like you're like, wow, these movies actually mean something because, you know, father and children, they went to these films. They grew up together.
Mm-hmm. I'm one of them,
right? Yeah. And there's all these shared experiences
right
around this film. I was like, I guess this is what I was meant to be doing. You know, it's like, and
certainly part of it.
Yeah.
I think owning it like that is good. I think it's a sign of maturity as an artist when you go, I was wrong about this, and it actually is important.
Yeah.
Do you ever see a movie called Sullivan's Travels?
Yeah.
You know, when he's like, you know, when he's like, I don't want to make silly comedies anymore. I want to make important movies.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he goes to that big tent at the end and he sees everyone laughing at the, and he's like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
It's like, it's important to bring whatever you can.
Yeah. Yeah.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
You know, I ask most people this just because I went through it with the drugs and alcohol and all that kind of stuff. Do you ever go through that?
No, I can't drink, first of all.
Right.
But I did have a lot of problems with cigarettes.
Yeah, right? I get that. Yeah. But see, I think with cigarettes, if you, there's no, nobody smokes cigarettes and doesn't
and
have
die.
A problem.
Yeah. Well, it the cigarettes represent just me being in a bad place, me being like depressed, me being anxious, me being insecure.
Yeah.
Right. And I think if I wasn't allergic to alcohol, like I literally am allergic to alcohol. Like,
yeah, me too. Yeah. But you can drink past that, buddy. I mean,
No. Like I start like, you know, like I can't break down the alcohol.
My mother was exactly the same.
Yeah. So
I became an alcoholic.
Really?
Yeah, my mother was exactly the same. She would like break out in this.
Yeah.
If she ever tried it, she would get this huge rash. Yeah. And is that what happens to
that's
you?
That's what happens to me.
Yeah.
So then I get sick. So
right.
But I feel like if I could drink, I probably would have like, you know, had some serious issues.
Because, you've got that vibe, if you don't mind me saying. So.
Really?
Yeah, you've got a kind of, well, see, I like people who have got that vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of like you.
Yeah.
And I think you have that kind of thoughtful, kind of troubled, kind of searcher thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's it. Are you a religious person?
No.
What about any kind of spirituality thing?
Spirituality?
Yeah.
You know, I think it's kind of like a concoction I kind of created on my own of what it means to me. Like even prayer.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I always thought prayer was like you pray to a God and ask from him, you know, ask for things.
Ask for stuff.
Yeah.
And then, I don't think that's what it really is.
Yeah, it's not. Right. And then, you know, these days, like I pray. Like,
sure.
You know, like but I go, it's not praying and asking for something. It's actually just, you know, expressing gratitude.
That's a great prayer.
That's
I mean, if you can get to that, that's amazing. I think gratitude for anyone, if you can find it in yourself, is a magic bullet, especially for something like depression. Or I'm not talking about clinical depression. I'm not a doctor. I don't know how to deal with that. But like the down feeling that's not inside that kind of pathological spectrum, I think you gratitude can really help you out.
Yeah. And also, I mean, a friend recently opened my eyes to like what I feel like my problem is, right?
Uh-huh.
Like there are times where I get so dark.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I can't get out of bed and like I can see how it affects the people around me that love me, like mm-hmm. my wife especially.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, it seems like you're always at your best. Like there's two versions of me.
Mm-hmm.
I call it like the JV version.
Right.
And then there's this varsity like team captain version.
Right.
And when I'm this version, I'm like great to be around. Like, you know, my career is great. Like I'm productive. Like, you know, things are like actually moving, like my house is in order, like my cars all work,
right? Right?
They actually run, right? They're not leaking oil and like just kind of, they're just like, you know, just like abandoned in someone's backyard. Like, you know, everything's kind of torqued, if you will. And then this JV version of me shows up and it's just chaos. Like I start getting weight, I start smoking.
What is the JV? Where's that come
from? Like, junior varsity.
Oh, junior varsity. Right.
Right.
I get it. I get
you
it,
got
I get
the varsity
it, right.
team. It's
right.
like, you know, the A team. And then you got the B team.
Right.
right? And it's kind of half-assed and everything. It's like, you know, everything's like unkept. Like, you know, I'm just gaining a bunch of weight.
I do that as well. Oh, my God. And that gets worse as you get older, too.
Does it?
Oh, my God. I'm 61 now.
Yeah.
Like, I swear to God, if I look at like a potato, I like gain a pound. I don't know what it is.
Well, I mean,
I don't even have to eat it.
But, this JV version is consuming things you shouldn't be consuming.
Yeah.
Right? You're just eating a bunch of shit and like just
trying to. I talked to a friend of mine who was talking about Ozempic and.
Oh, the weight loss thing?
Yeah, weight loss drug thing. And he said he'd lost a ton of weight. I said, did you do the Ozempic thing? And he said, yes, I did. I said, does it work? And he went, well, he said, clearly it works. I said, what does it do? And he says, well, you're just not hungry. I went, dude, I haven't been hungry since fucking 1974. I don't eat because I'm hungry.
Mm-hmm.
I eat because I'm sad.
Mm.
That's why I eat. And he said, mm-hmm. well, I don't think it would work for you then. You know what I mean? It's like, there's always plenty of food around for me. You know, I know that I can get something to eat. I don't know how often I eat because I'm hungry. I eat because I'm like,
me know, too.
I want to feel better.
Yeah.
I think it's a comforting thing.
Yeah.
So I think, to be honest, Dan, it's a deeper psychological problem that Ozempic's not going to touch it. So you don't need to waste your time with that either.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just, I have to run.
I do that too.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, yeah. I run treadmills now though, because
I like to riding treadmill.
Yeah, run on a treadmill because if you go, oh, I'm done, you just get off and you're home.
Yeah.
And also, when you get older, your knees and your joints and stuff, it's a lot easier just to run on treadmills.
Yeah.
Because
you can be consistent on a treadmill.
Yeah.
If you're outside of the way, there's also a reason why you can't do it.
Yeah.
Treadmill, you just go.
Just go away. Right? Do you have a room in your house with a treadmill in it?
No.
See, that's what I do. I like do that.
I'm thinking about doing that.
But you won't regret it.
I want to get away from the house and just, there's like a gym like 2 minutes away.
And you don't mind doing that?
No.
Yeah, well, then do that. That's fine. You don't need to listen to me. You got it sussed out.
Yeah.
You're fine.
Yeah.
Talk to me about your podcast. What do you do in your podcast? Because everyone has a podcast now. It's like having a tattoo or something.
It's kind of like this. This is what the podcast is. Very similar. It's like the reason you meet or the connective tissue is like this connective tissue with cars, right? So there's like race car drivers, there's like car builders, or there's like we had John Oates, who's a big car guy from Hall & Oates, right? It's like if you just love car, like you're Morgan, it's like, hey, you actually understand like what that means to be a car dude, like to love his car.
Morgan, I love that Morgan. And I have a couple of Land Rovers too.
Those are great too.
Yeah,
I love those too.
Oh my God, they're so cool.
If you ever need...
yeah.
Is it, what years are your Land Rovers?
Well, I have the 2013 or 2014, before they stopped the old model hundreds.
Uh-huh.
You know, when they started, they lost the certification, or the European Union said, you got to have to put in all this safety stuff. And they said, all right. So they had to change the whole model. Well, I have the last model before that.
Oh, you're like an 80s or a vintage?
It looks like that. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. I want to get a Series 1 Land Rover.
I know where to get them.
I would not buy it in the United States.
Why?
Because they're much more expensive here.
Oh, yeah,
buy it in the UK. You'd buy it in the UK and ship it, and it would be cheaper than buying it here.
And Dubai, too. Like, they're, I think, super cheap.
Really? In Dubai?
Yeah.
I've never been to Dubai.
Yeah.
I imagine it's a stop on the Fast and Furious tour, though, isn't it?
I've never been either.
You've never been to Dubai?
Yeah, I have friends that come from Dubai and they're like, there's a
bunch of police cars or Bugatti Veyrons and stuff. I mean, it's
Lambos and stuff.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Do you ever, I did this thing once where I rented a Lamborghini Huracan just because I was in LA. And I thought, I just rented it because my son was really young. I think it was one of your fucking movies, actually. Mm-hmm. And then he said, I went on Lamborghini. He was only like 4 or 5 or something. So we rented a Lamborghini Huracan. Then I had to go to work and the thing was sitting at the house at the weekend. So my wife had to go to Whole Foods and the only car that was there was the Huracan. She's like, she can drive in. She's like, fuck it, I'll take that. So she goes to the Whole Foods and the Huracan and she gets her groceries. She comes out and she started it up in the parking lot and it set off the fire alarm, the alarms and all the Priuses for all the way around.
Just it was so loud.
Such a great noise though, man.
Well, the Huracan's like it's a V8, isn't it? It was a V8, V10, V10.
I don't know, I'm guessing, but it's big and it's noisy.
Yeah.
And it rattles right crazy. And I remember I drove it, like I opened up a little bit on Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah.
It was just quiet. And there were some tourists outside the Chinese theater.
Yeah.
And they... just like, wow, people cheering and stuff. Just because it's going, and the same is fun. But I would never do that now, honestly.
Hey, I have a question to ask you.
Sure, fire away.
I read that you, after high school, you went to be a apprentice electrician.
Sure, yeah.
Why did you do that?
I dropped out of school when I was 16. And
okay.
There was a factory nearby, and they were taking on apprentice electricians, and it was a job, and it was 1978, and there was, you know, work wasn't a ton of it around, and it was Scotland, and it was kind of, I think it was a bad thing I did, because there were probably other kids that really wanted that gig and would have seen it through. I dropped even out of that after 2 years.
But did you learn how to
I can.
So can you wire your car?
But I mean, I can solder a little thing here and there, maybe if the car's old, I could probably figure it out. If I've got a schematic drawn or I can look at the car, I can figure it out. But all this new stuff with printed circuit boards and stuff and software? Nah.
No, like the older cars.
Yeah, I could probably find my way around. There would be a few shocks and disappointments along the way, but life's like that.
That's an amazing talent.
What, electrician?
Yeah, to be able to like wire your car, like, and being an electrician, like because I have these old cars.
Right.
You have to, a lot of times, hire, like, you have to have...
An auto electrician?
Yeah, a person, like an auto electrician, a wiring guy to come.
Right.
And basically create you a wiring harness for your car.
Yeah, right? I couldn't do that for you. I couldn't put a wiring harness in your car. Look, if you're looking for some cheap work done on your fucking car, you got the wrong guy. I can't do that. I really mess up your car. I can feel you angling. For, you know what? Yeah, if you just come and look at it, it's just a kind of, I don't know what it is. It's something on the fuse board or something. But no, I can't do that for you. I mean, in an like zombie apocalypse,
yeah.
If I've got like a 1974 F-150 truck, I can probably get it started. But that's it. Do you know what I think? How are you? Where are you emotionally with the electric cars?
So I was so anti-electric car. Mm. I don't have one.
No, I don't, neither do I.
Yeah, and I have no association with Hyundai. Okay, right. But I went to Korea for this traveling car docuseries, right?
Right.
And auto docuseries. And I drove the all EV Hyundai Ioniq 5.
Right.
And N series, which is like their like R version. They're like their sports version. It's all tricked out. 600 plus horsepower, right? And it has drift mode.
That's
crazy.
600.
And it has fake sound. So you have options. So if you want, you can go.
You can make it sound like a proper car.
Like a Huracan.
Oh, wow.
And it has like backfire. It's like, blah, 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 blah. Right? And it has these subwoofers under the back seat. So it starts vibrating and you're all like, and the steering wheel looks like a F1 race car and you can, go to manual mode and you're like, and you downshift and it's like, blah, 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 blah. And all these people in the street like, hoodlums, like this. Or you can go silent mode and, just grocery getter, right? So I was blown away. And aesthetically, the car is designed perfectly for anybody that is a car enthusiast, right? That loves cars.
I think they
had a focus group and go, what do you need in this car? It's like, well, I want the seats to look like Recaros. And so the seats look like these Recaros, but they're factory. They're big enough. So they're not all tight, but they have that aesthetic. The steering wheel looks like an F1 race car steering wheel, right? And then, they asked me, they're like, do you have any criticism over this car? And I was like, yes. It's like, I'm really into cup holders. Like I drive a minivan that has 18 cup holders.
I agree. American car design, they sit down day one, blank piece of paper, they draw a cup holder, then start building the car out from that. Yeah. That's the way it should be done.
But this car, they're like, oh, cup holder. And I go, yeah, where's the cup holder? Come on, man. This is like, this still, I might have a family in here. It's like, I need cup holders. They press this button. It was like out of Star Trek. It was just like,
cup holders.
And it comes out. And then you can get rid of it. So then you can go like sports mode, right? Beautiful.
I think I just pooped myself a little bit.
Beautiful.
That's amazing.
Oh my God, this car. And
is it very expensive? Sounds very expensive.
No.
Come on.
No, it's way cheaper than a Tesla. I think by the time it lands in America, so this is the Ioniq 5 is already here, but the N is going to be in blue.
Ioniq 5N. Okay. I'm going to look out
probably
for
around 60-ish.
Okay, that's in the wheelhouse. Not bad. That's where it is.
600 plus horsepower. I mean, that thing boogies.
I have owned an airplane that had half the horsepower of that, a 300 horsepower, and that shit would go.
Yeah.
That's amazing. 600 horsepower feels like maybe too much.
No. No. And then they brought out their drift version with the handbrake. And then they had because it's like a soundtrack, like you program the sound.
Right.
And so they had the drift sound in it where it sounds like a screaming lion, right?
Right.
And that thing is like, oh my God.
But wait.
Yeah.
How does that work if you say to me, hey, I'm having an electrical problem in my Ioniq 5N, Craig. I'd say, I don't know how to help that. Or if you go to an auto mechanic
like anywhere.
Yeah.
It's going to have to be someone who knows that. You're talking about a piece of, like, it's a computer.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to go to, it's going to have to stay with the dealer and stuff. You're going to be locked into.
No.
You think any garage would be able to deal with that?
Well, it's like, so that's the same argument with the Teslas, right?
Yeah.
But now there are these kids that, you know, the new generation of car guys.
I suppose that's true.
Right?
Yeah, of course.
That's what they know. That's their car. So they hack it. They're like, we're going to hack the computer. We're going to, you know, we're going to tweak it. We're going to modify it. So all of a sudden, opposed to, like, you know, 200 horsepower, like from factory or wherever it comes with,
right,
it's like all of a sudden it's like, you know, tuned to be like 500.
Does it lose horsepower like a mechanical engine?
I think.
Like over time, you know, like a.
Because of the battery?
Yeah.
I'm sure, yeah, the battery goes bad.
It's got to be, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, like if you got an older car, that, like, even if you replace the battery, you're still going to lose horsepower just in the engine capacity.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think so.
Why?
Well, I don't know why, but I think that happens with an older car. We should look that up. Or maybe, you know what? People will tell us.
Yeah.
They'll get angry.
Because I know that these cars, the batteries go bad.
Well,
and
yeah.
And you can buy the new battery.
Yeah, but then the old battery goes into the ocean and kills dolphins.
Yes.
It does. So, see, I'm against electric cars because my theory is this.
You are against electric cars?
100%.
Okay.
Because we should use up all the fossil fuel. Let's get it done and move on. I think biofuel is the way to go.
Mm.
It's a science problem. It's not an emotion problem. Mm. It's not a let's hold hands and sing problem. This is an engineering problem.
Mm.
We have to replace the fuel system that we have with a fuel system that's less dirty.
Mm.
It doesn't cause, you know, a horrible mess.
Yeah.
And we already have the technology. There's biofuels.
Yeah.
You know, then there's a system of delivering it.
Yeah.
There's tankers. There's pumps. There's cars that would vary. Do you remember? Are you old enough to remember this? You might be. Like when...
I'm 51.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Fuck you, man. You moisturize or something? but I guess you would have to be. These movies have been around for a while. Yeah. No. But anyway, what I'm saying is the system is in place for biofuels, and that's why I think we should go there.
Mm-hmm.
We could already do it. You know, you can make diesel out of fucking anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cooking oil.
Fucking right? Old banana skins.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, like, anything that decomposes, you make diesel out of.
And there's hydrogen cars too.
Yeah, I don't know enough about hydrogen cars, but they feel a little blowy uppy to me. You know what I mean?
No.
Yes. Well, hydrogen. What's the name of the? What's another name for the atom bomb? The hydrogen bomb. Yeah. So, I mean, nobody's making the. No one's saying the biodiesel bomb. No one's saying the.
True.
Cooking fat. You know, monster. It's not happening.
Yeah.
So I just think. That's my theory. That it's not a frothy emotional problem. It's not even because all you have to do is make it economically exciting for the evil people that run the world.
Yeah,
and all you have to do is say, well, biofuel, surely.
Yeah,
they've got to be working on it.
Yeah, well, there's a pushback now with the EV cars because a few years ago it was like, oh, that's the answer to everything, and now all this information is coming out. So, you know, I think people are like, hey, there's the balance, you know, anything.
Yeah.
And EV cars were like selling like crazy. Now there's like, you know, it's not
backlash.
Yeah,
happens so. Anyway. Happens in everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, look, we got no more. Let's come have another one. Let's have another podcast where we will discuss alternative fuel strategies for planet Earth.
Okay. I mean, it's kind of boring.
Fuck you, man. I'll see you next time.
All right. Thanks, Greg.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth, no matter who you are, that mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.